Well, welcome, listeners. It's great to have our council interview underway again. And joining me here in the studio, we have Mayor Councillor Margot Davis and Acting General Manager, Director of Corporate Services, Lindsay Woodlands. Welcome to you both. Getting underway then from the council meeting last week. We're a little bit later, but all will be well, I'm sure. So from a previous council meeting, the proposed mining village accommodation at the airport, obviously a significant economic boost, this mining activity. We used to have so much of it in years gone by, and now it's returned, which is great. Now, would you like to comment on this?
Or? Yeah, I'll take that one.
Okay.
Good morning, listeners. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about some of the things at council. So yes, last week's meeting was a full agenda again. And so Taronga Mines are looking to develop a tin mine out near Emmaville. And part of that project that council have endorsed and enabled is for part of the airport to be used to build a workers' accommodation. That project will accommodate up to 50 workers. And so at the moment, council have signed the heads of agreement with Taronga Mines. The next step is for Taronga to then construct the lease at their own cost, which obviously council will review and that will come back up to council. So it's an important project. Yes, you're right, David. There has been many mining projects and mining history in Glen Innes. Back to the gold mines, there's quartz opportunities. There's actually a lot of critical minerals. We sit in a critical mineral belt that runs right up to Townsville, actually. So there's lots of opportunity in mining, and it's great that this tin mine project has finally come to fruition, because it's been or is going to come to fruition. It's been a few years in the making and talked about amongst the community for quite some time. So it's good to see progress. I believe the next step for Taronga also is to put in their EIS, which is their environmental impact statement. So that's where they're at in the planning process. So we look forward to working with Taronga and ensuring that there's benefit coming back to the community as well.
Great. Now, it's good to see such a boost occurring, and particularly for Emmaville, a community, a village situation that really needs economic boost for it in particular. So
yeah, absolutely. And we recently unveiled the Roobot, which is a ginormous kangaroo that is made up of VW and Beetle parts. Is that the right name for the car? I don't know. I'm not a car person, but it's actually a really cool project, and it's great that Emmaville have a big thing, and I believe they got some press recently around having this big kangaroo located in the park there at Emmaville.
Great.
Which was obviously funded by Taronga Mines.
Right, so it's a roo, not a panther. Let's move on. Conversations with councillors, the first on the 18th of September and the next forum on the 16th of October. Would you like to comment on that, Margot, on how the outcome so far? And
yes, absolutely. So Conversations with councillors is an initiative that I created to give the community a bit more one-to-one, face-to-face access to their elected representatives. So all councillors are invited to come along every third Thursday between 4 and 6 at the Highlands Hub. It's just a drop-in session, so you can come in at any time. You don't need to be there the whole time. The hours are there 4 to 6 so that, you know, parents after school, they pick up the kids, they can drop down. Kids are more than welcome to come along and hang out in the community area of the hub. And then obviously till 6 o'clock, so that businesses can also come along after they've shut up shop for the day. So yes, we had our first session a couple of weeks ago now. Some of the themes that were coming out of that were around traffic management especially. So we heard some concerns, particularly around Oliver Street, and that particular community member was reassured that that would be brought up in the next traffic meeting. so we can raise that through the traffic committee and address that concern from the community member. Other conversations were around a bit of clarity around council's potential public-private partnership with CETA, which is a waste-to-energy initiative biochar initiative. So council have supported that project firstly by allocating some funding to participate in a pilot. So that pilot will help CETA to essentially be able to get their EPA approval. So beyond that, once they get their EPA approval, then CETA themselves, obviously as an independent organisation and business with a board, will continue to look at commercialisation of their innovative manufacturing or conversion technology out there. And then council will continue conversations around any opportunity into the future for a public-private partnership that would be aligned, and the community and council would benefit from a potential partnership that feeds into our long-term waste and recycling strategy.
Okay. Let's move on to quite a different topic now. The open day at the powerhouse, which has been around for a long time and out of sight, out of mind a fair bit, and it proved to be a great attraction and great potential. And comments on that?
Yeah, it was a fantastic day. I went down and did a bit of a speech there on the day about the history of the building. Certainly, the Essential Energy Building, as we know it, used to be owned by a former municipal council, I believe. The state government took it back over, but the site itself used to be literally the place where energy was generated for the town. So there is some historic assets in there, engines in there that are extraordinary. It was great that I think the staff reported that there was about 300 people go through that day, and that wasn't just people from the community. It was people from around the region and even interstate. So I do, you know, the staff did an amazing job to pull that together as quickly as they did, and the Heritage Tractor and Machinery Club also helped bring it to life with the old tractors and talking to everyone about the engines that are inside the building. So really this was a consultation with the community to kick off a project where we can understand what the opportunities are to utilise that asset for the community's use, for even STEM opportunities and for tourism.
Certainly it's there's potential there, and that could well be a component of festivals and events where you've got that additional activity available.
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea was that the community can feed back on what they would like to see happen in that two-thirds of that site, because obviously council resolved to sell the front third to enable our CT imaging business to be started, which is also fantastic for healthcare access in our community. But the back, we really wanted to, you know, engage the community on what their ideas were, and that'll all be fed into a report back to council and hopefully get it towards a shovel-ready project where it can be grant-funded.
Thank you, Margot. Moving on now to the review of financial and debt recovery policies. This is on page 38 of the business paper, item 7.1, and a lot of this seems to involve the SRV, the special rate variation. Now back to, I think you mentioned 48.5, Lindsay, close to 50% on general rates, and of course impacts right across the sectors, residential, pensioners, business, farmland, and the impact on hobby farms where and farmland where most of their rates are in fact general rates. Thus, if you've got a rate of say 12,000, that could be getting up close to 18,000 afterwards. So your comments on the developments around the review of financial and debt recovery policies is a critical aspect there.
Yes, thanks, David, for the question. Yes, in light of the approval by Council of moving forward with the application for the special rate variation to IPART, which will happen, we'll complete that application later this year for submitting early next year. Part of that process is to review the hardship policy, the debt recovery policy, and also the pensioner concession policy. At the last council meeting last week, we put up two of those. The pensioner concession policy didn't go up simply because we have to wait for the SRV application to be approved before we review that, but there is an intention to address the concession for pensioners as well. But the council acknowledges that due to exceptional circumstances, ratepayers may at times find it difficult to pay their rates and charges, and particularly with a rate increase. We understand that that's going to be a bigger issue. So we're looking at all of our policies. This is an interim, a stage one view, if you like. And once we get to the approval, if it is approved by IPART, we'll look again at these policies to make sure that they're in line with the community needs and expectations. So they're around softening some of the requirements for demonstrating that you are in hardship. There were quite a lot of hurdles that you had to cross. Now, Council, all of these policies are governed by the Local Government Act, so our rates, income and so on, governed by the Local Government Act of 1993, so we have to adhere to that and find balance between adhering to the Act and what is required of that governance, and also addressing the community needs in terms of genuine hardship.
And particularly looking at pensioners, I guess it's fair to say that pensioners would be in a position of having any new rate, having to fund all of that because the concession is already taken up.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a $250 concession paid to pensioners. We're looking at increasing that once the application is approved, if it is approved. And we'll address that at that time. It depends on the level that is approved, of course, and what council can afford.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification, Lindsay.